going to be in James chapter 3 this evening. The last little bit of that chapter, the last six verses, deal with wisdom, man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. We've entitled this section. And I'm reminded of the book of Proverbs a great deal. Of course, the book of Proverbs spends much of its first four chapters dealing with wisdom. And I just wanted to share one little section there of that. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding has he established the heavens. So we can read on in the book of Proverbs as Solomon describes wisdom. He gives wisdom a personality of sorts. Describes wisdom as a person calling out, begging people to come and get wisdom, come and get understanding, to avoid the dangers of folly and foolishness. But of course, many will not listen. But as we turn then to the book of James, we're going to see again this kind of wisdom that the writer of Proverbs describes. We're going to see James describe it similarly. Beginning in James 3, and verse number 13, through the end of the chapter. Short little section. I know y'all are complaining. I know everybody wanted a long section tonight, but we'll survive. Thought about going ahead and doing two since we're not going to be here next week. So let's just do the one. Verses 13 through 16, James says that true wisdom comes from God. There are all sorts of things that are called wisdom, or that are called knowledge, or that are called intelligence. There are all sorts of things that go by these kinds of names. But the true wisdom comes from God. Verse 13, we see that we have to show our wisdom in our behavior. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So James says the wise person is going to show their wisdom in the way that they act. You know, we don't often look at somebody who's acting a fool and say, boy, isn't that a wise fellow over there? No, we know better than that. We know the difference when we see it of wisdom in action versus foolishness in action. And James tells us if we are wise, if we have knowledge, then what we need to do is show that in our lives. Our works need to show that wisdom. We're going to show it in our behavior. And then we see that envy and strife are not from God. Verse 14. Apparently, there were some people who thought that in some way their ability to start a fight or pick a fight or argue a good fight or whatever caused strife and turmoil was somehow a wise thing to do, or that they were somehow more knowledgeable, maybe we could say. You know, there are some people who think they know it all. And they're just waiting to pick an argument with somebody to prove just how much they know. But James says that that's not the case. That person doesn't really know all of that. Notice what he says in verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. And then he's going to describe this so-called wisdom or this way of thinking a little further in verse 15 to show that this earthly wisdom is really from Satan. Notice what he says in verse 15. This wisdom, notice what he's just talked about. you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. Can you believe some people would call that wisdom? James says, oh no. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He says, that's from the devil, that kind of strife and troublemaking and causing trouble and turmoil and always stirring up problems, causing arguments. So that's not from God. That doesn't come from above. That's earthly. That's sensual or physical. And that is devilish, even he says. And then verse 16, he says that evil, envy and strife will bring forth evil fruit. And of course, we've seen that happen. Whenever there's envy and strife, turmoil and trouble, that always brings more problems along with it. Verse 16 says, but where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Every evil work. You know the old saying, you can tell a tree by its fruits. We can know that envy and strife are not good because the fruits that they produce aren't good. Now there are times when we have to disagree about something. And there are times where we have to be standing firm for the truth. But to go out looking for trouble, to look to cause strife and to envy, and always wanting to stir something up. See, there are times when trouble is going to come to us and we can't help it. And of course, there are times when we will try to settle strife by turning to God's Word and showing people what God's Word says. And then they'll start to fight with God. Well, their fight's not with us any longer. That fight's with God. They're going to disagree with what God's Word says. But we have to be people who do not look for ways to cause strife. And of course, envy. To want something that someone else has. Or to be desirous of having something that someone else has. Jealousy, envy. Those things do not bring good fruits forth. He says they bring every evil work, and there's confusion. Can you imagine if everyone was speaking something different in the church? Everyone was teaching something different in the church. You know, there are churches where that happens. There are churches that their main premise is, well, whatever's good for you is good for you, and I'll have my own and you have your own. That's utter confusion. But God is not the author of confusion. Not at all. Instead, He came to clear up the confusion. Jesus came to clear up the confusion. He brought the truth. So the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. But He brought the truth so that we could have one truth. So that we could all speak the same thing, as Paul tells us. We should all speak the same thing. What confusion it is when one person is teaching one thing and another person is teaching something else. Whenever that's taking place, we know that that's earthly, that's worldly, that's of the devil. Because God never contradicts Himself. And anyone who is speaking God's words is going to be speaking the same thing as every other person that's speaking God's words. Because God doesn't contradict Himself. He's not going to cause the confusion. The confusion is caused when men take it upon themselves to decide rather than letting God decide. And of course, that does produce all sorts of evil work. But then in the last two verses, we're going to see that God's wisdom bears good fruit. Verse 17, He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That's interesting that He puts pure first, and we're going to see why that's so important in just a moment. But first, pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So notice what He says about this wisdom. First of all, pure. You see, in our search for wisdom, in our search for knowledge, the first thing that we have to make sure of is the purity of it. We have to make sure of the truthfulness of the gospel that we are hearing and that we are teaching. Notice he put peaceable in second place. There are many in the religious world today who want to disagree about what the gospel is or about what the truth is. They want to disagree about that, but they want to have peace at the same time. See, James says, first pure, then peaceable. Once you have the purity established, then you can have peace. You can't have peace as long as there are two people who are disagreeing about the truth. You cannot have a peace under those circumstances. It's not possible. There are many things in this life about which we can disagree. We can disagree about our favorite kinds of ice cream. We were sitting around today talking about, I like this kind and I don't like that kind. And oh, and somebody said, oh, but I do like that one. That one's really good. Or, you know, we can disagree about some of those things. Those are matters of opinion. We can disagree about what car we like best. Apparently we do, because almost everybody's got one different up there. We like different things. But when it comes to something that's either true or false, there's no room for disagreement. And the only way that we can come to peace in those areas is when we agree on the truth. We know that. In school, the little children, they learn their letters and they learn their numbers. They learn to count. They learn to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And there is always, in those situations, a right answer. Now, there are classes like art, where one child paints this picture and another child paints that picture, and one child, you say, well, I don't like your picture. Well, I like it, mine better than yours. You know, they could disagree about that. It's subjective, so to speak. That's art. There's no science involved. There's no right or wrong necessarily. Although there are some kinds of art that are definitely wrong. there's not always a standard. Some of those things that they call great old masters, I think, are the most hideous things in the world. And some of the ones that you can buy for 50 cents at Walmart on a poster are so much prettier than some of the ones they call great masters that sell for millions of dollars. But that's a subjective thing. That's up to debate. But when it comes to how much is 2 plus 2, or what is 5 times 5, there's a right answer. And every other answer is wrong. You can't say, well, 2 plus 2, I think it's 3, and oh, I think it's 7, no, I think it's 5, and well, that's the way we'll just agree to disagree. And we'll be at peace, and you just have your answer, and I'll have mine, and everything will be. We would think that teacher was crazy, out of her mind, if she allowed those children to go on like that. Yeah, teach those children, no, 2 plus 2 is 4. And it's always 4, it's always been 4, and it always will be 4 as long as we count from 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 plus 2 will be 4. 5 times 5 is 25, and it always has been, always will be. That's the right answer, and any other answer is not correct. It's wrong. Now, there might be lots of ways that, well, you know, you tried real hard, but you need to try again to get to the right answer on that one. Now, we might not, like one of my math teachers, that just say, y'all dumb, that's stupid. That wasn't very encouraging to us. Yeah, but there are ways that we can point out to somebody that they're not correct and encourage them to try better in the future. But there has to be that acknowledgement that there's a certain answer. If we let a child go through school thinking that whatever they want that number to be, it'll be, they're going to have real trouble when they get out in the real world. Well, that's the way it is with God's truth. There is truth, and there is that that is a lie. If it's not true, then it's a lie. It's false. So we had, you just have those true-false tests. Why, it was either true or it was false. There wasn't a, well, maybe, well, sometimes, well, I'm not sure about this one. It was either true or false. And that's the way it is with God's Word. It's true. And anything that disagrees with God's Word is false. First, pure. Then peaceable. Now we have that peaceable spirit. We aren't out there, as we saw earlier, to cause strife and turmoil. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, think not that I came to bring peace on the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. He even says that the enemies, a man's enemies would be them of his own household. His own friends and relatives were going to turn into his enemies because of the truth that Jesus brought. And haven't we seen that to be the case? People who reject the truth, deny the truth, and rebel against the truth will fight against it with their last breath. We need to understand that. But as much as in us lies, we need to be at peace. So we first make sure that it's pure and then peace and gentle. Now we don't go out and try to beat somebody into the church. Go and beat them up. I'll beat you in senseless until you church. I tried that when I was younger. When I was a little fella, I didn't know a whole lot about it. I just knew what was right and what was wrong. And I had a friend of mine that lived about a half block up the street from me that had a bad habit of cussing. And so I told him, I said, hey, from now on, every time you cuss, I'm going to punch you. Well, that wasn't the best way to approach that situation. Now, it worked a little bit because I was bigger than him. If he'd have been bigger than me, I'd have been in big trouble. But that wasn't a very good way to approach that situation. We have to be gentle and peaceable. And then, of course, he says, easy to be entreated. We need to be easily entreated. You know, there are some people that you cannot approach. They're unapproachable. You can't ask them a question about something. That's hell. Well, no. True wisdom is easily entreated. If somebody's got a question, if somebody needs to ask about something or needs to discuss something, it's easy to talk to that individual who's truly wise. Then he goes on to say, full of mercy. You know, the truly wise person understands, first of all, how much they needed mercy and how much they continue to need mercy. And when we understand how much we need the mercy of God, then we're more ready to give it to others, or at least we should be. And so this person who's wise is full of mercy and good fruits. Notice he says good fruits. Those good fruits are going to come out when someone is truly wise without partiality. You know, true wisdom applies the truth across the board to everybody. True wisdom doesn't favor one individual over another and say, well, we talked about that in class this morning. Well, I know this person's doing that and that other person's doing that, but it's okay for this one and not that one. It doesn't work that way. If it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. If it's right for me, it's right for you. That's true wisdom. It's going to be without partiality and without hypocrisy. I can't very well stand up here and tell somebody else that they shouldn't be cussing while I'm cussing. Can't tell somebody they should be speaking the truth and not lying while I'm lying. Can't tell somebody they shouldn't steal while I'm stealing, or that they shouldn't commit adultery while I'm committing adultery. That's one of the biggest things that has been a problem in our society lately, with all of, you know, everybody pointing the finger at everybody else for doing something, and then it comes out that they're doing the same thing. Paul says, ye who teach, thou shalt not steal. Do you steal? Jesus said, get the beam out of your own eye first, and then you can see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye. So we need to be sure that if we're going to point out something that's wrong in someone else's life, that we've got that right in our life. We need to make sure that we don't just point the finger at everybody else and not look at ourselves. Hypocrisy. Or act like we're not doing anything wrong when we are. That's what the term hypocrisy and hypocrite actually came from, the idea of an actor who played a part on the stage. Someone who pretends to be a Christian on Sunday, but they're not any other day of the week. That's not the way it works. And then we see verse 18. He goes on to talk more about this fruit. He says, for peacemakers are going to produce righteous fruit. And the fruit of righteousness, there's the fruit of righteousness, is sown in peace of them that make peace. And notice he uses the term make peace, not keep the peace. Too many times we try too hard to keep the peace rather than to make peace. Now we might say, well, what's the difference? The difference is, if we're just trying to keep the peace, a lot of times we compromise the truth to do that. Because we don't want somebody to be upset. I've seen preachers, elders, leaders of congregations, in various places, who, in order to keep the peace, will allow all sorts of sin to go on because, well, we don't want to offend so-and-so because they give a lot of money. Well, we don't want to offend so-and-so because that's our biggest family, and if they leave, our attendance is going to go down. And we know, well, I know so-and-so needs to be withdrawn from, but their parents are leaders in the church, and if we withdraw from them, it's going to upset them, and maybe. We make peace, first of all, between us and God. And that's a difficult thing sometimes that leadership is put in that position. They have to determine that peace with God is more important than peace with men. But I've seen a number of times where people, in one particular situation, an elder's child that needed to be withdrawn from. But because it was the elder's child, they wouldn't withdraw from that elder's child because they knew the problems that would go on down the line if they start thinking it's going to have to follow through. There's going to be problems. But instead of making peace with God by doing what He's commanded, they just let the sin continue. And it grew, as sin always does. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And before long, they had several situations. But they couldn't pick on anybody because, well, they couldn't show partiality. So they just let them all continue instead of doing what was right. We've got to be sure that we make peace, not just keep the peace. Sometimes making the peace means going through a time of turmoil before the peace arrives. And if that's necessary, that's necessary in order for us to have peace with God. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you need to have more wisdom. If so, James says, ask of God. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you need wisdom, ask for it. Go to God in prayer for that. It's a gift that He willingly gives. He wants us to have as much wisdom as possible. He dishes it out as often as He can. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand in this room.